In this podcast this morning, I want to talk about the concept of signal to noise ratio and what that means. In working with clients through the years, I would always center our therapy on what is it that you really want? Why are you here? What are you seeking? I'm thinking of a young man I'm working with right now. Well, I don't know sure how young he is. I think he's in his 30s, and he's struggled with drug addiction throughout his life, been in and out of many treatment facilities, had periods of sobriety, and right now he's smoking again and trying to get off of nicotine. And our conversations are fascinating to me. And I said, what is it that you really want? And he totally has all the recovery lingo down. I want to be clean and sober, man. I love God. God's in my life. And Jesus is everything. And it's love. And I want to be clean and sober. And I'm going to be clean and sober, man. That's it. I'm not going to use anymore. I love it. I go, okay, all right. And let's set some goals. And I've been working with them for probably about 3 months now. And the conversation pretty much goes the same in parts of our sessions as I'm talking about, well, what is it that you want? And I'll always say something like that, man, I want to be healthy and strong, and I want to be free of this. It doesn't do any good, man. It doesn't do any good. I know when I get stressed, I go right to my drug of choice right now. And he's been using pot in the past, but anyway, so either of those two. And yet when we get to the point of making a commitment for the week, hey, what is your plan for the week? Because I will say to him, okay, all right, you're telling me all of this stuff, what you really desire. So when we get off the session and the addictive voice starts hitting you again and it's going to come, how are you going to respond to it? And then that's when things get really interesting. So my purpose is to help him recognize what I call the addictive voice, any thought or feeling of continued use of the substance. So the signal is, I want to really be clean and sober. So he's saying that to me, but the signal really isn't that strong. He's just saying the words, but I can see underneath it, he doesn't really mean it. He wants to mean it, but he doesn't. And so I say, all right, there are two parts of you. There's a part of you that wants to be clean and sober, and there's a part of you that wants to continue to use. Just acknowledge that. The limbic emotional part of the brain functions on the premise of instant gratification. So the minute or the second you start feeling an emotional stress, bored, lonely, angry, stressed, tired, hungry, any of those things, the limbic part of the brain's job is to get you out of that state, but it tricks you because the things that it draws you to that are addictive, like nicotine, like excessive eating, it's not helpful for your body. In our quest as human beings, one of the overall quests is to be healthy and strong in our bodies. Our bodies are the greatest gift that we have. So the quest is to become, I keep coming back to this concept in my mind, and I got to write a book on this stuff. Becoming a mindful warrior in the age of distraction. You know, kind of what is the new science of the mentally strong? How do we get the signal strong enough, set our course and get the signal strong enough that when the noise comes, it just beats off of it, and it doesn't have the capacity to drag one back into the addictive behavior. The issue is the behavior. Because when you're smoking cigarettes, it's not good for your body. It's just not. And when you're smoking pot, it's not good for your body. It's not. I have another individual that I'm working with right now, and she's trying to get off pot. I mean, she's smoking constantly. She's so high during our sessions, it's like she's nodding off on a continual basis. And I'm just going, and just the whole addictive thinking. Yeah, maybe someday I want to be clean, but you know, I'm going to work on that. But it's like, it's such a powerful drug. But I want you to know, anyone who's struggling with any of these things, it's all coming from the limbic part of the brain. And it all has to deal with this concept of not being able to embrace discomfort. In order to be mentally strong, we must be able to befriend a little discomfort. It's the same thing with eating. I've come to learn from my own experience, and research is clear on this, about, so check this out, about 80% of our eating is emotional eating. We don't actually need it for our body. And the greatest hack of keeping your weight under control and manageable is simply this. And, oh man, it really is this simple. It's very challenging, but it's this simple. We gain weight when we take into our body more calories than we burn, period. I don't care what food you eat. I'm not an advocate of any diet. No diet. The research is so clear on that. In time, I think I was reading something the other day, 97% of those who begin a diet, a year later, they are worse off than they were when they started the diet. You just don't stick to it. So my advice, and from my own experience, and from what I've read in research, is just counting calories. Eat whatever you want, but then keep your calories. It's called naming and pointing. Like for example, I'm not going to deprive myself of a chocolate chip cookie. I absolutely love them. But here's the deal. When I started to get really serious about my health, my weight, I always had this little roll around my stomach. I'm 65, going on 66 now, no matter. But when I look in the mirror, no matter what I tried to say to myself, oh, come on, you look good. And I go, dude, you got a roll around your stomach. This little flab around your stomach. You can say whatever you want to say. And I'd see, and I'd be out in the swimming pool with the grandkids, and sometimes would take videos and pictures, and I'd look at them, and I'd see myself, and I'd go, oh my gosh, no matter what you're doing, you got this flabby roll around your stomach. And I couldn't lose that. And here's the bottom line. When I started to get really serious, naming and pointing, counting calories, I could not believe how many calories I was eating throughout that emotional eating, running to the cabinet between therapy sessions, even though I'm getting up and exercising every single morning. This is what I'm convinced of. The way your body looks, 75% of it, 75 to 80% of it has to do with what we eat, how much we eat, not what we eat, as much as how much we eat. Because I literally could go and work out for 3 hours. I love exercising. I'm committed to that. It makes me feel good. But then, and I notice I actually would gain a little weight. And I'd go, how is that possible? And then I started, and I've heard the concept many, many times, but it just blew over my mind. I go, dude, you're not naming and pointing. So this, and then I started counting, observing something called the Hawthorne effect. That which we observe changes the way things happen. And so I started actually counting and observing how much I was eating and how it was making me feel. And it just simply had to do with how many calories. So I'd have this, we have these amazing chocolate chip cookies we get from Trader Joe's here, and have a plate of them. And And so I clicked on, and I said, how many calories is in a chocolate chip cookie? And I think it was about 100, 150 calories. And so I'd look at that cookie and I go, man, I really want that cookie. I love it. I'm not going to deprive myself of that cookie. So I'd name it, and I'd look at it, name it, point. I said, this chocolate chip cookie has 150 calories. My calorie count today, I'm trying to figure out where I'm at. What do I need to do to start losing this flab around my stomach? What do I need to do? Oh, I'm gonna count my calories and I'm gonna keep it below 2,000 today. I'm just gonna monitor that. And so at name and point, that's 150 calories. I'm gonna eat that, but I'm gonna eat less and savor more. I can tell you, that chocolate chip cookie was one of the best experiences I've ever had. But this is what was doing previously when we'd bake, you know, a dozen chocolate chip cookies. In a half hour, I'd have four of them. So do the math. 600 calories? It's like, oh, and then I have lunch, and then I have, you know, dinner, and then I have a snack before I go to bed. And I was eating 3,500 calories a day, and I kept that weight on, no matter how much exercise I was doing, because I was putting in. And you just look at a calorie as units of energy. They're just units of energy. Food is fantastic. So I just don't like, it's never worked for me to go on any specific diet. But I'm telling you, what's worked for me and the clients that I've been working with on, you count calories and you cut the calories out, and immediately you begin to lose weight, and immediately you begin to start looking the way that you want to look. Now, is it easy? No, you need to embrace a little bit of discomfort. It's the exact same thing that my client is dealing with nicotine. Man, I need to smoke. It's that urge, the urge to run. And if you can stay mindful and go, wait a minute, name it and point it. I'm having a feeling, I'm having a craving to go throw some, you know, get a couple of chocolate chip cookies or eat something. I'm having a craving to smoke. I'm having it's hitting me right now. I can sit with this discomfort. That's where the change begins to happen. And we really don't need those things. And again, it just depends on back to the signal. What is it that you really want? And when we want something bad enough, if you really want something, you'll get it. I think we kind of fool ourselves going, we should feel a little better in our bodies. I should look better. I should feel healthier. And I'm telling you, just from my experience, the less food I eat, the better I feel. I sleep better. Sometimes, yeah, you wake up and there's a teeny bit of a hunger feeling, and then I go, that's awesome, because when I feel that, it means my body is burning calories right now, and usually fat. And anyway, and down the road, I'm working on some other ideas and experimenting with certain things and certain exercises that to me have been extremely helpful, but I want to just keep testing them out before I talk too much about them. But anyway, signal versus noise. So if you want to improve your health, and the American Psychological Association has suggested, and I can't 100% agree with this, those who come in for mental health treatments for anxiety, depression, you name it, addiction issues, a prescription that should be written every time is to start doing something physically. Wherever you're at in your body type, don't compare yourself to other people, but start moving on a consistent basis and start incorporating regular exercise and can work on. You know, there's many different coaches out there and stuff, and And if you have questions, just email me, innergold@gmail.com. Innergold@gmail.com. Just email me and say, hey, I've listened to this podcast, and what exercises really work for you? What has worked for you? And what is working for clients? And how do you do that? How do you manage a little discomfort? And how do you get your signal stronger than the noise? So the signal is, I want to be in a healthy, strong, fit body. I want to be this weight within a few pounds here and there. This is what I want. Noise is, let's go have some cookies. Let's go have a snack. Let's go have it. That's just noise. So we got to eat, but we got to enjoy it. We got to love it. But less is more. And then you just feel better all the way around. Gluttony is not good. Overeating is not good. We all know that. But this limbic system that we wrestle with, we need to make peace with it and understand it's a beast to deal with. It starts screaming and yelling, but we need to understand that from the prefrontal, our rational cognitive point, from our brains, that's where the signal, we can make it strong and say, nah, it's all right. I can deal with this discomfort. I'm strong and healthy, and this is the body in which I live. And this is what I'm going to do today. These are the exercises I'm going to do today. And these are how many calories I'm going to eat today. Anyway, it's a simple hack on improving your health. Okay, guys, test it out in your own life. Observe what you do. Name and point. Count your calories. You'll be surprised. Perhaps you'll be extremely surprised at how many units of energy you are putting into your body. I don't look at calories as negative. They're units of energy. That's awesome. But don't put more energy in your body than you're using, because what happens is it's stored as fat, and that weighs you down. And to be overweight is the greatest stress on the heart and other parts of the body. Research is very clear on that. So get yourself where you need to be. Start with the vision. Start working on the signal, reminding yourself of, through positive affirmations, this is who I am. This is how much I weigh. And I'm healthy and I'm fit and I'm strong. And then you just keep working on strengthening that signal. And then day by day, hour by hour, just notice the noise and the distraction. And so align your behavior with the signal. And then change begins to happen. It's a total combination between exercise and the amount of energy you put into your body via calories. But I'm telling you, the weight part has more to do with how much we eat than exercise. Because you can't really exercise to the point where it's going to do, it can burn all those calories off if you're just eating too much. You just put it right back on. So anyway, all right, test it out. See how that works in your life. Again, work on the process of becoming what I call a mindful warrior in the age of distraction.